Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, Justin Trudeau is forced to apologize for wearing brown face and a turban.
I'm going to be asking Canadians to forgive me for what I did. I shouldn't have done that. I take responsibility for it. It was a dumb thing to do. I'm disappointed in myself. I'm pissed off at myself for having done it. I wish I hadn't done it, but I did it. And I apologize for it.
NDP leader Jagmeet Singh says this story isn't about the Liberal leader.
And seeing this image today, the kids that see this image, the people that see this image, are going to think about all the times in their life that they were made fun of, that they were hurt, that they were hit, that they were insulted, that they were made to feel less because of who they are.
And the leaders continue to propose new measures around fairness and accountability.
The types of grants or loan write-offs that don't protect jobs, that don't keep jobs in Canada, or that don't create jobs here in Canada, would be eliminated because they are not a good use of taxpayers' dollars.
I'm sure you know people that can't afford essential dental services. There's people that put off cleaning their teeth. There's people that put off their dental care because it costs too much. Well, we're going to stop that.
It's Thursday, September 19th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by National Post columnist John Iveson. Good morning, John.
Morning, Mark.
I think before we talk about the political implications of this, we should talk about the act itself. And Jagmeet Singh, the NDP leader, I thought spoke very well about it last night when he talked about how it would feel to many Canadians to see their prime minister in a photograph like that.
Yeah, I think that, it's hard for those of us not members of visible minority communities to know exactly what that feels like. But I mean, he was visceral in his reaction to it. It did seem like it almost triggered some past hurt. And I think that'll be the same for many people. And you know, when you look at this, we're going to talk about the political implications, but that has political implications. I mean, this election is going to be fought in multicultural suburbs around our big cities, and this is not going to go down well there.
So what do you think the result of this is? How big a deal is it? How serious is it for the Prime Minister, for the Liberal leader?
Well, I don't think you ever know a game-changing moment particularly. I mean, it's only in the rearview mirror that it turned out to have been a game-changer. But this is clearly significant. I've covered 6 federal election campaigns, and it feels like a game-changer. It feels like something dramatic has happened that might have a lasting impact on the way people see this guy. I don't want to say I told you so, but I wrote a book about Justin Trudeau that just came out, and it concludes with the words, "For many Canadians, this preening Prime Minister has proven himself too vaulting, too capricious, and too extravagant. Politicians sometimes forget they're appointed, not anointed. But like anyone elevated, there will come a day when he is demoted, and it will be because voters are tired of the idiosyncrasies that once amused them." In the words of 17th century playwright John Webster, "Whether we fall by ambition, blood, or lust, like diamonds, we are cut with our own dust." And I think if we're not there yet, Justin Trudeau can see it from where he is right now.
Yeah, we're getting closer, it could be argued. And the Prime Minister alluded to it last night when he spoke about how he likes to wear costumes, and I think that's been an Achilles heel for him already. We've seen evidence of that before. But I heard some people commenting on this last night and writing about it as well, and Jagmeet Singh referred to this too. I think one of the questions that some Canadians have been asking is, who is the real Justin Trudeau? And when he is in the role of Prime Minister, is some of that some form of act? Is it inauthentic? And I think this sort of exposes that fault line with Justin Trudeau even further, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the authenticity thing's always been there in this theatrical side to him. I mean, obviously India was the sort of zenith of that. He does like dressing up. I mean, is he a racist? I don't think he's a racist, to be honest. I think he does like dressing up, and I do think he's a hypocrite. I mean, he came out last night and said, well, you know, if we have this kind of, and this is me paraphrasing, mudslinging, then we're going to end up with nobody left running. This is the leader of a party that has just ended the political careers of at least four Conservatives in the last week by doing exactly that. He didn't show the level of forgiveness that he's now asking Canadians to give himself.
Yeah, is there a double standard here? If this were anybody else, would they still have a political career at this moment? We've seen in the United States and elsewhere people who have lost their careers over this kind of thing.
Right. I mean, I think that he has the Liberal black ops on a number of Conservative candidates has just summarily ended their career without any. They've been called to resign without any idea of being given a second chance. I think people should be given a second chance, or even more than two chances. You know, they're called men are multitudes. Or humans are multitudes. There's multifaceted people. But he has lived by this sword and were he to die by it, he could hardly have any complaints.
Yeah, I think you raised a question there about whether Justin Trudeau is racist, and I often wonder whether the issue is figuring out if people are racist or not racist, or whether people are human and sometimes they do racist things. And obviously there are levels, there are degrees to that, and there are people who show a pattern of behavior, and that's what leads them to be labeled racist or sexist or something else. And I just wonder at what point it matters. Ultimately, Canadians have to choose whether they want a prime minister who exhibited a lack of judgment. Yes, it was 18 years ago, but he was 29 years old and he was a teacher at the time. He wasn't an 18-year-old university student.
Right, and quite apart from that, frankly, is the way that he was draped over the woman in the picture. I'm not sure how comfortable many women will feel about that as well. I mean, I think the saving grace being that she wasn't one of his students. This is a repeat. You know, we're talking about Justin Trudeau's judgment. We've had this conversation umpteen times now, from the Aga Khan to the allegations of groping, to the ethics commissioner, to this thing. I mean, there is a repeat pattern, and at some point people do say, well, maybe he's not fit to govern this country. And that's the allegation that's been levelled by Andrew Scheer, who I'm travelling with at the moment. We're in Sherbrooke, Quebec, and last night he made that statement. I think, unfortunately for him, he's made it a number of other times when he shouldn't have said it. He's called for Trudeau's resignation pretty quickly. And I think, you know, he may be the boy who cried wolf now because people have said, well, you've already done that. Hmm. I don't know where he goes from here, but it is one of the, it just seems to have triggered in people the sense that the things that were, as I said, amusing to them, these idiosyncrasies, he was colourful after the Doer Stephen Harper years, but it's just too much now.
What do you expect to happen now? How will things play out in the hours ahead? As at a minimum, if this has not been a game changer, it certainly changed the direction of the campaign for the day and for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, we are in such a swift-moving campaign. You know, things are moving on Twitter by the minute, not even by the hour. So how lasting is this? I mean, I guess it remains to be seen. It's certainly for today, nothing else matters. And we've seen Justin Trudeau survive, you know, similar types of scandals. So does this last to polling day? It's impossible to tell. But I do think it has gravely injured his reputation. And I think that they are now in damage limitation mode. I think you're right. There'll be some kind of event that where he shows humility and sympathy and empathy and all the things that he is known for, but usually for things that somebody else has done.
Hmm. All right. As you say, it seems unusual to talk about anything else, given how much of a bombshell this was. But some quick thoughts on some of the recent developments in the campaign away from this story, the Conservatives talking about the reduction of corporate welfare, of handing out big payments to companies, the NDP talking about dental care. What's your sense of how things are shaping up otherwise on the campaign trail?
Well, you know, we are in a bubble, so I can only really talk about the Conservative campaign. I think that the Conservatives have got a really focused narrative. I mean, virtually nothing else is talked about other than affordability. Shear started explaining how he's going to pay for the $10 billion in commitments that he's made on an annual basis. This is the ending of corporate welfare, but those of us have been to more than one rodeo remember Stephen Harper doing the same thing in 2004 and then not following through on it in 2006 when he won power. It's a hard thing to do. There's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of special interests. And I don't think that Andrew Scheer is going to take on that special interest, particularly with small businesses. So I'm a bit skeptical about them raising that money. But the campaign is focused. It's small level stuff, but when added together, it gives you, you know, there's just this sense that most Canadians would be better off under this plan. Maybe not better off compared to what the Liberals are doing, but certainly better off compared to what is on offer now. It does not quicken the pulse, though. It's not like it's causing excitement and the crowds are small. They're saying we're deliberately not doing big rallies. We want to keep people on doorsteps. We don't want to attract big crowds. Well, all I can say is that they're doing a heck of a job not attracting big crowds.
All right. It's going to be a very interesting day on the campaign trail. John, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today.
Thanks, Mark.
That's John Iveson of the National Post.
It was just as racist in 2001 as it is in 2019. And what Canadians saw this evening is someone with a complete lack of judgment and integrity and someone who's not fit to govern this country.
Now, let's take a look at what political columnists are writing about today. In the Globe and Mail, John Ibbotson writes that Justin Trudeau's silence matters as much as his actions. Ibbotson writes, "There was absolutely no excuse for Justin Trudeau darkening his skin with makeup in 2001 as part of a costume. He said on Wednesday night that he now realizes the act was racist. He should have known it then. But that is not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that for 18 years, he kept silent about it. The offense lay not only in the act, but in the silence. This election is about who voters should trust to lead this country in difficult times. How can they trust a leader who committed a racist act and then kept it hidden, hoping no one would find out? This is about me taking responsibility," Trudeau told reporters. "No, it isn't. It is about not taking responsibility and then apologizing when you get caught. All those years, when he could have told us himself, he didn't. That is what he should be ashamed of. That is what voters need to think about." In Maclean's, Paul Wells writes, "You'll be relieved to know Justin Trudeau will be talking to his children about all of this. The Prime Minister will," he told reporters at the back of the Liberal tour plane in Halifax, "be telling his children that when you make a mistake, that you need to own up to it. I don't know whether he'll tell them it's a good idea to wait 18 years and only commence the owning up once the nature and details of your error have been published in Time magazine, or whether, yet again, he'll be holding others to higher standards than he holds himself. Most of the things you ever did that sound appalling now were appalling then, and you deserve to have a terrible time living with them. But people change. People grow. Justin Trudeau's career has been based on claiming that simple fact for himself and denying it to his opponents. Will that stop now? Of course not. It's how he's wired." In the Toronto Sun, Warren Kinsella writes, "Make no mistake, blackface isn't funny." Kinsella writes, "Ask Megyn Kelly. A year ago, the former Fox News star was filming a segment about Halloween costumes and political correctness. There was a massive backlash. Kelly apologized, but her show was canceled not long afterwards. Blackface is literally about white people caricaturing black people. It's an assertion of power and control. At the end of this shocking revelation, we are left with one thought. This is not the face of a prime minister." Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer will be in Saint-Hyacinthe, Sherbrooke, and Granby, Quebec. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh will be in Hamilton, Ontario, to outline the NDP's plan to help small businesses and workers. And Green Party leader Elizabeth May will be in Vancouver to speak at the BC Assembly of First Nations General Assembly. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Thursday, September 19th. Tune into CPAC and CPAC.ca throughout the day for continuing coverage of the federal election. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.